Hey, did you see that countdown clock? It's so powerful. Everybody's back in their seats and they've stopped talking. It's amazing. You know that's not true right now, right? Okay. Good morning, everyone. My name is Rich, and as James mentioned, that my wife Rose and I are going to be here with you a great deal over the next weeks, and so we're looking forward to getting to visit with folks this afternoon, even after service. We really do hope everybody could stay. We'd just love to get to know. We already have a lot of friends here, so we feel really welcome and at home here, especially it's just over the years. We've been here several times and been in conferences and things with a number of folks, and so we're really glad to see all our friends here. And so Rose will be coming to speak this morning. And honey, why don't you come up? Oh, I called her honey. It's okay. It's okay. We're married. It's all right. I can do that. Could you guys stand with me as we pray? I want to pray a blessing on her and just ask the Lord to come. So Lord, we are thankful. Tyler said that you are faithful to just keep coming and showing up. We just thank you for your presence here in this gathering this morning. And Lord, I just ask you, you'll bless Rose today with words of wisdom and grace, with power and authority and clarity. And Lord, we invite you to come. You know everyone's story in the room. You know where they are. You know their lives. And so, Lord, you can be special and individual to each person and at the same time minister to us as a body. And we thank you for that, Lord. So bless Rose this morning as she brings the word to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Is this on? Yeah? Okay. I need to put a few things down here. It's good to be here. Rich and I are going to be around some in the next few months. We're going to be here at a minimum of twice a month. And as we go through this transition together, so the leadership team has invited us to come and help lead the church through a transition after Mel and Wendy made the decision that their time was up here. So we know that all of you are in different places. And whenever there's a major change like this, there's all kinds of emotions that surface, right? Some people are going to be really sad, and maybe first you're angry and you want to blame someone. And so what Rich and I really would like to do in the next few months is just be with you, allow people to go through what they need to go through, because change is hard and all of us react to change in many different ways. And so we want to just be here and bless you where you are, meet with you all, hear your stories, and see what the Lord is going to unfold. Which brings me to our this season. How many of you know that this is the first Sunday of Advent? Some of you might have grown up in more traditional churches where actually leading up to Christmas, there's a season called Advent for those of you that aren't familiar with that. And it's a very traditional, it goes back to the, you know, early church practicing Advent. And so the Vineyard, you want to go back to the first slide? The Vineyard USA actually put out an Advent series with just some themes for each week. And today the theme is an invitation to hope. And so you might not even recognize this, but it is traditional during the season of Advent to every Sunday light a candle symbolizing the theme for the week. So the first week is hope. We light a candle for hope. The second week is peace. We light a candle for peace. Next week, we're going to share on the theme of peace. The third week is traditionally a pink candle, and it represents joy, and that will be the theme of the third week of Advent. And then the fourth Sunday of Advent is love, and Christmas Eve traditionally is the Christ candle. So each week, we just keep lighting the candles, and the whole point is that Jesus is the light that comes into the darkness. And I want to encourage you, even as families, like maybe this week, you'll do your devotionals around the theme of hope. In the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah has beautiful poetry about the prophetic light of Christ coming into the world, the hope of the nations coming into the world. And so both in the Old Testament prophecies and in the New Testament reading the Christmas stories, every week you could sort of read about those themes. So today we're going to talk about hope. But first I want to just show you a quick video that Vineyard USA put out about invitation.
What if you said yes to the Holy Spirit today?
You were made for a life of wild adventure.
A spirit-filled, spirit-powered life.
But sometimes we feel hopeless, powerless to help, in an overwhelming world with so much need all around us.
We wonder if God can really use us. Aren't Christians called to live like Jesus, doing what we see the Father doing?
Isn't being a Christian about doing what Jesus did?
Isn't being a Christian about having the Holy Spirit in us, doing great things through us in powerful ways?
If those are the questions you're asking, you're in good company. We are a movement of people saying yes to God, welcoming the Holy Spirit to use us at any moment, in any place, no matter who we are or where we've come from.
And we have thousands of stories of ordinary people being used by an extraordinary God in the places we work, play, and live. Heal the sick, pray for the lonely, set captives free, have faith that moves mountains.
We get to do it all, every day, if we're willing to say yes to the Holy Spirit. God can use you at home, at work, at school, in the grocery store, riding a taxi, or talking to our neighbor.
Wherever we find ourselves, God is there, waiting for us to say yes, Holy Spirit. Yes to whatever you want to do through me.
And when we say yes, things change, and we change too. Say yes to the Holy Spirit changing you. Say yes to the Holy Spirit helping you to see others in need.
Say yes to the Holy Spirit using you in your family, your neighborhood, your place of study or work, your city, and around the world.
Life with the Spirit can be a wild ride. It can be a bigger adventure than we had planned for our lives, but it's worth it.
You can live an exciting life led by the Spirit.
You can be an empowered follower of Jesus who takes risks and has miraculous adventures with God. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Be changed. Be available. Be ready for what God will do.
Say yes to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. So the series is all about invitation. Today, as the first Sunday in Advent, the theme is hope. The invitation is to hope. So I'm going to ask Diane to come and light the first candle for us this morning. And as she does that, I just want to say just a little bit about what is Advent. So Advent is the church's way of observing and remembering, marking the truth. We believe that God came to be with us once, that God is still with us, and that God is coming again. And when God comes again, he will set all things right. So Christians around the world, in churches, in homes, in refugee camps, and on the streets, alone or together, participate in Advent in many unique and beautiful ways. It's a tradition throughout the church. Advent really comes from the Latin word that means coming. It's the same word in Greek, Maranatha, that says, come, Lord Jesus. It means coming. So it's the start of the Western church's calendar if you are in a traditional church. But it's a season of anticipation, of expectant waiting. How many of you know what it's like to wait? Think about it. Waiting for a doctor to come and bring diagnosis. Like, you know that feeling of just waiting, like if you think something might be wrong, and that anticipation and the hope that when the doctor comes, it will be good news. Or waiting in this season, there's lots of lines when you go to the store, like just waiting and hoping that the cashier would just go a little bit faster so we could get to the end of the line. But there's different ways in which we wait. And when we're waiting, mostly we're waiting with expectation, unless you are from Saturday Night Live, Debbie Downer, and then you wait with optimism because you're sure that things are going to go wrong and you find the darkness in everything. But Advent is an invitation to wait with expectant hope. Part of what we do is we walk alongside the gospel stories. That's what we'll do in the next few weeks, of how the world waited for the birth of Jesus in anticipation of Christmas. We declare the words of the prophets, longing for the Messiah. We're alongside of Mary, pregnant with God, waiting for this child to be born. We're walking in solidarity with those who waited in ancient times. We sort of mirror their journey, hearing the prophecies afresh, and it's a way for us to prepare our own hearts for Christmas. So yet on the other hand, these weeks are also about our own longings and hopes, our anticipation for the redemption and the restoration of all things. We are still in the world that is aching, hurting, yearning for the beautiful redemption of all to be put right, right? I mean, we live in a time where, I don't know about you guys, but just a world, like, because we have cable news, we can see what's going on every minute of every day around the globe. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but it just feels really dark. And so we need this good news that light has come into the darkness and light continues to come into the darkness. There's a world waiting for redemption, longing. I would even guess that some of us in this room have longings in our hearts for things to be restored, whether it's a broken relationship, whether it's a career that went awry, or, you know, life just didn't turn out the way that we had hoped and thought it was going to turn out. So we have these longings in our heart that we want things to be put right. So that's what Advent is about. It's about those of us who know longing, coming alongside the biblical characters that waited for this, for Jesus to come and put things right. So this morning, we're going to read the text, and it's about Simeon. I'm going to read it, and then we'll talk a little bit about Simeon. In Luke chapter 2, 25 through 33, it says this. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, just watch how much the Spirit is involved. When you go through and read the Christmas passages in the Gospels, just look at how much the Spirit is involved in the coming of Christ. So, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. So Simeon was a man in Jerusalem who lived at the time, of course, that Jesus was born. His reputation was one of being righteous and devout. That meant he was right with God. He loved his neighbor. People looked at him as an example of what it meant to be a person that followed God. For generations, the people of God waited for the expected Messiah, a Savior, for generations. And when we think about the story of Israel coming out of Egypt, out of being enslaved, and then watch as you read through their story of being conquered and oppressed by one superpower after another, after another, after another, even at the time that Christ is born, they're under Roman occupation. So when it says the consolation of Israel, The people of God were waiting for this promise that the prophets had promised, that Messiah would come and set things right, would end their exile, would end them being completely oppressed over and over again. So the concept of consolation implies comfort. The Messiah would come and comfort them. The nation of Israel was waiting for God's comfort, expecting that he would come and rescue them. We sang about that this morning, how God has come and rescued us. We're sitting in this room because God has rescued us in what Jesus did for us in his life, in his death, in his resurrection and ascension. He rescued us. And as we're being rescued, he then invites every single one of us to be with him on this rescue mission, to proclaim what God has done, to be bearers of this good news, that light has truly come into the darkness. When everything looks so dark in this world, there is still good news that we can proclaim, we can embody, we can demonstrate. Simeon was unique in what he knew, namely that he would see the Messiah with his own eyes, for it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. See, when we posture ourselves in this expectant waiting and watching, and I think in some ways this is what true discipleship is. It is remaining connected to the vine, connected to Jesus, where we're so connected that we are always in this posture of expectant waiting. Like, what will the Lord do next? What is God doing? Just like the video said, in our everyday ordinary life, in the places where we work, where we live, and where we play, if we're alert and watching for what the Father is doing, that is what discipleship is. Then we join with what we see God doing, and God blesses that, and things transform when we do that. I know some of you have had that very experience where you felt compelled by the Spirit to participate. Maybe it's just asking someone if you can pray for them, or feeding the hungry, or working in the garden. Like, you somehow you felt compelled by the Spirit to join with what God is doing. And how many of you, I listened a couple of weeks ago from some of you that went to Mexico. How many of you in the room were on that trip? Yeah, okay. I listened to that and I thought, this is what we're talking about. Like, when you gave this testimony of, I mean, some of you, I heard your voices cracking because it was like, we went there and we gave out, but we thought we were doing them a favor. But the truth is, we were changed by being there and joining with what God is doing in the orphanage there. And that's the way it works in the kingdom of God. It's an upside down kingdom. When we're generous and we give out, we get filled back up. And so when we join with what God is about in this world and we join with that, then we come to life. We're joining with him in this rescue mission. Joseph and Mary, in faithfulness to the law, traveled to Jerusalem while Jesus was still an infant to present him to God in the temple. And that was what the law required of them to do. It's during their visit in the temple that Simeon saw Jesus, the long-awaited consolation of Israel. We don't know how long Simeon waited. We don't have the backstory, but we do know that he was led by the Spirit to go to the temple that day, and he recognized Jesus the moment he saw him. So Simeon's words tell us that Jesus would be the salvation of the world. He would deliver truth not only to those in Israel, but to the Gentiles, which means to the entire world, and that Jesus would bring glory upon the people of Israel. Simeon stands as a testimony of how we too should anticipate the arrival of the Messiah once again, even now in our time. How might the Spirit be wanting to birth Jesus in the midst of your life and in the life of this church in this next season? If we posture our hearts to prayer and alertness, somebody compared being alert to the Spirit like a bird watcher. How many of you bird watch in this room? Nobody, okay. I don't either, but I don't bird watch either, but somebody told me, they compared it to that. So if we were bird watchers, I think this is what happens. You go somewhere and you sit, and you might even have these little glasses, and you're really quiet, and you just wait, and you're really alert, and you're watching, and you're watching, and when that little bird lands, you go, ah! there it is. Like, that's what it's like to wait on the Spirit and be alert. Like, we posture our hearts to be awake to what God is doing, and we're actually watching for what the Lord might be doing so that we can join with it. That's what Simeon did. And we will feel at moments compelled by the Spirit. Now, yesterday, we started meeting with some of you in the church, and we met with someone that told us a story that years ago, they had been in a church that they absolutely loved. They loved the pastor, like just were on board with the vision of the church, the vision this pastor had for the church. It was a happening kind of place. And then that pastor got cancer and died. And so a new pastor came, and a lot of people left the church when the new pastor came because it was such a different personality. The pastor came with a different sort of vision. And so this person said to us, "I felt compelled by the Spirit to stay. My family stayed." And people would say to us, "Why are you staying? Like, you like what's happening here?" But they felt, because they were alert to the Spirit's motion and work in their own lives, that they were not released to leave. And they waited it out. And I don't remember the story of how long, but then a new pastor came and things opened up. And they said to us, our waiting in that time was probably one of the most formative times of our Christian walk, by waiting and waiting, being obedient to the Spirit. And so that is my ask of all of you today. Would you be so in tune with the Spirit? Because sometimes when a church goes through a big change like this, your initial reaction is just like, "I'm out, can't do this," which is, you need to do that, that's okay. Everyone has permission, but what I would appeal to you to do before you're just out in a reactive way is that you would spend time with the Lord and hear from the Spirit, is there an invitation? I mean, is there an invitation to stay and wait? Is there an invitation to be here and be a stabilizing force for this church so it can go on to the next chapter? Is there an invitation for you to say, "No, my time here is up"? So I believe every single one of you can pray and posture your hearts to hear from the Spirit, and you will get the direction of what's next for you. And for some of you, that is going to be to stay and be a stabilizing force. Maybe one or two of you, not many, will feel compelled to go somewhere else. I don't know, but that's up to you and the Spirit. But this is the invitation to hope, right? The thing about hope is it actually requires a wait. If we didn't have to wait, we wouldn't need to hope, right? If we're already where we want to be, if the journey's already completed, there's nothing left to hope for. If we've already arrived at the destination, there's no need to hope. Hope and expectation are things of the journey, not the arrival. Expectant waiting is what Advent is all about. Hope is oftentimes messy. Difficulties arise. Trouble comes. Roadblocks pop up. How many of you have ever been on a road trip? Because Rich and I do a lot of driving. For those of you that don't know it, Rich and I are the regional leaders for Vineyard Northwest, which is the region is from Sacramento to the Canadian border. And we also have Alaska and Hawaii. So Rich and I are on the road a lot, and we depend a lot on our GPS. But how many of you, when you're like on a road trip and you make a wrong turn and it's like trying to recalculate, but it's a few seconds behind the turn you were supposed to make? Like, do you know what I'm talking about? Because that happens to us a lot. We are not the brightest, smartest tools in the kit around technology. Like, we are just not. Because we're old, and so we are not natives to the tech world. We are not. We are, what do you call it? Anyway, whatever. Thank you. Yeah, just help me along here when I forget words. But I'm not kidding you. I don't know why that happens to us so much on the road, where the GPS is just like a few seconds behind us. It's recalculating the route. And then we kind of yell at each other, and he'll just say, "Stop it!" Like, anyway, just a little insight into our marriage. I think I told you guys this story about the time I thought we were going to die in Monaco. Somebody had gifted us a trip to Europe, and we rented a car, and we were driving. We were in Monaco, we made a day visit there. Rich was driving, and Monaco is a country that just goes like this, like straight up. And some of you might know the story. Princess Grace died there in a car accident off of one of those roads. That is because it's straight up. So we were trying to get out of Monte Carlo so we could get back on the road toward Italy. And the GPS kept missing it by a couple of seconds. And we were going straight up this vertical, these roads that were like switchback roads. And so we missed a turn, and Rich was frustrated. So he's like, I'm just going to go. Arr! He gunned it, and he was going to back up on this switchback road where people could be coming around the corner. And I started yelling, we're going to die in Monaco, because I just read about Princess Grace. And he went, stop it. Stop it right now. Get out. So that's our marriage, just so you know. I think you guys just did a marriage class, and we probably should have been a part of that. Next year, we want to be a part. But all I'm saying is hope is messy, right? Sometimes the recalculating of the GPS, which adds so much time to the trip, is just what you have to go, you have to be flexible to go with. And so sometimes we have to wait longer than we thought we should have to wait. And so all of that is what we do know is that unexpected difficulties make this whole thing take longer. But hope really burns the longest if we can hold on to it. And I do believe that the way that we cultivate hope is to remember what God has done. If we can remember the things that God has done in our lives when we've been in hard situations, how God writes these redemptive stories out of our lives. If we can hold on to those moments where God has written redemption for us in the past, then we can have the grace from God to stay in these moments of transition with expectant waiting, that somehow when the right time happens, God is going to unfold the next thing. And that's what my prayer is for us as we travel through this transition together. So Rich Nathan wrote this. He's a pastor of Vineyard Columbus the other day. It says, during times of waiting, God asks you and me a simple question. Will you trust me with everything? Will you trust me with everyone? Will you trust me with every moment, past, present, and future? Every circumstance, everything that happens or might happen, will you trust me? And I think that is the invitation that hope brings, to wait expectantly, believing and trusting that God will work things out. And it might not even be the way that we think God should work things out. But if we could posture our hearts to say, Lord, here we are. We want what you want. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done right here in Oasis Vineyard as it is in heaven. Amen. Rich, you want to come up? We're going to go into a time of communion. I'm gonna just read and bless the elements. And if we could have ushers come and just sort of set it out, what we'll do is invite all of you to come and take the bread and the juice and then go back to your seats and hold it so we can take it all together, okay? So instead of passing it, we'll just, maybe the ushers can dismiss row by row to come up. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said this about the Lord's Supper. That's okay. Yeah, you guys are going to pass it out. Fine. Yep, that's all right. That's all good. Just go ahead. Yeah. Do what you do. As they're passing it out, I'm going to read this blessing. And let me just say, lighting the candle, passing out communion, these are material things that we in our world signify to us the presence of Christ in our midst. And communion is a time where we remember what we talked about. Jesus rescued us. So we remember what Jesus has done, but we also in communion remember that his promise is he's coming again. So we observe all of it, the past, the present, and the future right here in this moment. So this is what Paul wrote to the church. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So this morning, Lord, we take the bread and we ask that you would bless it to our bodies. And in ingesting this bread as a body, we ask that you would bless this body, this local body of believers, with your presence and your will. We remember you, Jesus, as we take the bread. In the same way, we lift the cup, and in remembrance of you, Jesus, we say thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for shedding your blood and destroying the power of sin and death. We ingest this, Lord, and we in faith take it in and say, Lord, we receive what you have done for us.
So in our vineyard tradition, we love to invite the Holy Spirit to come. People say, well, isn't he already here? Yes, he is already here. In fact, he's all over. He's everywhere. When you leave here, he's there. But he also, Jesus taught us to pray. He said, pray like this. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. So we're going to do that this morning. And the thing about the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've just heard about the hope we've just shared in the body and the blood. We're reminded of his presence and his faithfulness. The kingdom of God is about the rule and reign of Christ in the earth. And we don't build the kingdom. We don't add to the kingdom. We don't bring the kingdom, because the kingdom is everywhere. He said it is finished when he's on the cross. We receive the kingdom. So I'm going to invite you to join with me today and receive that rule and reign into your life. And what happens when we start to do that is that kingdom order starts to come into our lives. If you're here today and you have physical needs in your body, as we invite the kingdom to come, and you invite the kingdom to come, the rule and reign of Jesus, allow him to bring order into your body. We pray for healing. We pray for relationships to be healed. We pray for your life, for your hopes, for your dreams. So would you join with me and maybe put your hands out just even to receive this King of Kings and Lord of Lords into your life today? So, Lord, we invite you to come. Come, Holy Spirit. Let your kingdom come, and let your will be done here and now as it will be in the future. Lord, we receive your rule and reign right now.
If you need healing in any way, we want to invite you to come up. There's going to be ministry team people that will pray for you. We will pray for you. So I really would like to invite you to come up if you need healing. And the other thing is, as you think about this invitation to hope, if you even felt a little bit of tug on your heart about, yeah, I want to respond to this invitation and hope, And embrace hope that God is going to unfold God's will, I want to invite you to come up and let us pray for you, just for faith to hold on to the hope and to be alert to what God might be speaking. So if that's you, we want you to come up as well. So we're going to go ahead and dismiss. Do you have any more?
No, I want to. Can we all stand together? And,
yeah.
And as we're getting ready to,
yeah,
you know, if you need to go, that's fine. If you'd like prayer, we invite you to come down and get prayer. And then in a very short few minutes, we're going to transition into
10 minutes.
In about 10 minutes' time. So if you have kids and you need to get them, you can do that during this time as well. If you need to leave, that's fine. But we don't want to miss an opportunity to pray for healing for people that need healing. I just feel like that's something that the Lord really wants to do today. So, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for hope. That's one of those things that Paul said will remain with us, is hope. And so, Lord, we receive hope today, as Rose was sharing. We receive the hope for the future that we trust you for. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray for healing for anyone that needs healing today in their bodies. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. We ask your blessing on those that have to go, but we also pray your blessing upon us as we gather and we share and we think about the future together. We thank you in Jesus' name.